Hello and welcome to Grace in Focus. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thank you for joining us. We're currently doing frequently asked questions, and as you know, we get lots of questions, and we've noticed that we get a lot of the same questions. So, a couple of the questions we're going to handle today are, does falling away mean I never believed, and do you need to endure to the end to be saved? Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar have a ready answer for these questions, so let's go right to them in discussion. This is Grace in Focus.
Thanks for listening to Grace in Focus. My name is Sean.
Hi, I'm Bob.
And we are answering some frequently asked questions. These are questions that we get asked every week. We're putting these on our podcast. We'll be on YouTube, and we'll have some written versions at our website, faithalone.org. So hopefully this will be a helpful resource to people. Are you ready for the next?
Let's give it a shot.
Okay. The next question is, does falling away mean I never believed in the first place?
We hear that one a lot.
Yeah, or I guess it's not always in the first person. Sometimes it's like, well, this person I know stopped being a Christian, and now they're an atheist, or now they're something else. And does that mean they never believed in the first place? So what's the background for that question?
Well, both Calvinism and Arminianism, but within Arminianism, it's the basic idea that if you fall away, you lose your salvation.
Yeah.
So they wouldn't say, no, they weren't born again in the first place. But the Calvinist, not all, but most Calvinists would say, if you fall away, you prove you weren't a true believer in the first place.
Right. For the Calvinist, there's a difference between believing with a natural, self-produced faith and believing with a supernatural gift faith. And it's kind of hard to tell which one you have. If you believe John 3:16, how do you know if you're just believing that with your natural faith versus believing it with a gift faith? And I think the Calvinists say, well, if you're believing it with a gift faith, you will never ultimately fail. You'll have little failures, but you'll always persevere in faith and good works with this supernatural gift faith.
Right. And of course, there are several problems with this. Number one, it makes assurance impossible. Number two, ultimately, almost all Calvinists, most at least, would define faith as having some sort of emotional component and some sort of willful component.
Yeah.
So there has to be some sort of commitment to Christ, and there has to be some sort of following obedience and perseverance. Often they will say, well, wait a minute, the obedience and the perseverance is not the faith, but it's the fruit of the faith.
Right.
However, if you don't have the obedience and the perseverance, then you prove you didn't have the faith. So for them, since in their mind, true saving faith looks the same as the other kind of faith, therefore, the way you see if you've got the real thing is by your works.
Yeah.
And ultimately, it leads to work salvation thinking.
Because even if theoretically you believe it's by faith apart from works, in practice, you're going to be working to make sure that you have this special faith.
Right.
Now, the first problem is there such a thing as natural faith versus special gift faith?
No, all faith is faith, and Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 does not teach that faith is the gift of God. It teaches that salvation, the by grace through faith salvation, is the gift of God.
How do we know that?
Well, the word that in, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. That is neutral, and the word faith is neuter, and a neuter demonstrative pronoun looks back to a verbal idea, by grace you have been saved through faith, not to a specific word like faith. It certainly isn't going to look back to a feminine noun, pistis. It would look to the idea of by grace you have been saved through faith. Not only that, but of course we see all through the New Testament that salvation is the gift of God.
Yes.
John 4:10, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that speak to you, you would ask him.
Right.
And he'd give you living water.
Right.
Salvation is the gift of God. Revelation 22 and verse 17, again, salvation is a gift. And you see it all through the New Testament. You never see faith as a gift. And also, of course, you know, you mentioned earlier about how a Calvinist might say, well, you can believe John 3:16 with two different kinds of faith. But for the Calvinist, believing John 3:16 is not a matter of being convinced that simply by faith in Christ one has everlasting life. Instead, for the Calvinist, believing certain doctrines is just part of it. And the doctrine that you're believing, for most Calvinists, is not the promise of everlasting life, even though Calvin himself seemed to teach that assurance was of the essence of saving faith. In other words, at the moment you believe in Christ, you're sure that you have everlasting life. Most Calvinists say you'll never be sure prior to death. You have a sliding degrees of confidence. Mm. You're more or less confident depending on how good you are today.
Mm-hmm.
So you get an argument with your wife. Oops.
Maybe I'm not. Yeah. Maybe I don't have to give faith.
Right. Cuss somebody out on the freeway.
Maybe not.
Probably not.
Oh, but then you give $10 to a homeless guy. Now I'm thinking, I got it.
And then the homeless guy goes out and buys booze
and
with
then
the $10.
You're like, maybe not.
Yeah.
It's just up and down, up and down, up and down. And it's all due to, we've talked about this before, these faulty ideas of faith, the people who reject explicit work salvation will then go and make a mess of faith to introduce works into the condition of salvation by redefining faith. And this idea that there's a natural faith versus a gift faith, I think that plays into that.
So what was the question again, just so...
What's your favorite color?
Red or burgundy.
No, it's... Does falling away mean I never believed in the first place?
And the answer is no. In fact, I've often said, if you were to fall from a tall building... You fell from the roof of a tall building. One thing we know is you used to be on the roof.
Yeah, that's right.
You can't say falling from a tall building means you were never on the tall building.
In the first place.
Right.
Yeah, that's right. Great. I like that illustration. Yeah.
And so if you have fallen from Christ, you've fallen from your walk with Christ, well, then you were formerly walking with Christ.
Right.
So you gave the example of someone who might even become an atheist or a Buddhist or whatever. Well, the truth is, if they ever believed in Christ for their eternal salvation, then they have it no matter whether they fall away or not. Now, a lot of people think, well, wait a minute, that's nuts. So you could have a born-again atheist? Sure you could.
Sure.
Because if they've ever believed, they're secure forever.
Yeah.
You know, I like to say it this way. Let's say you're driving down the freeway and you're listening to us talk. And at some point, you're persuaded that simply by faith in Jesus, you have everlasting life. Well, let's say you were to die 1 minute after that. Either you had a heart attack or you got in a car accident and died, whatever. Where would you go? Would you go to be with the Lord or would you go to hell? Well, certainly you'd go to be with the Lord because 1 minute is plenty of time to believe, right?
Right.
What if you died 1 second after you were born again? Same thing. What if you died at the moment of faith? Same thing. But a lot of people say, but wait a minute, if you live for 10 years after the accident and you got hooked on pain-killing drugs and you became a drug addict and you didn't go to church and you didn't pray and you eventually became an atheist, now you're going to be separated from God forever. So the best thing that could happen to you in this way of thinking is to die at the moment of faith.
Right. So what you're saying is some people are confused and they think the condition of salvation is ongoing faith.
Right.
And really the condition of salvation is all you need is 1 second, you know, half a second, 1/100th of a second, just a moment of faith.
At the moment of faith, you're born again. And by the way, it's not just some people. Dan Wallace, who's written one of the leading Greek grammars for the New Testament, says that saving faith is continuous and that you must persevere. He says, ha pistuon, the one who believes, like in John 3:16, that requires persevering faith.
Right.
And if your faith ever stops, well, then you didn't have it. Well, if that were the case, then what John 3:16 would be saying is you don't have salvation yet.
Right.
You've got to persevere until death to get it, so you would get it after you die.
Mm.
And, of course, there's another problem because John chapter 11 and verse 26, Jesus said, he who lives and believes in me shall never die. And they're both present articular participles, hazon, kai hapistuon, the one who lives and the one who believes.
Right.
And so if you said the belief has to be continuous, so does the living.
Right.
So that means if you ever died physically,
you better not grow old.
You're going to the lake of fire.
Right. So that doesn't make any sense. What makes sense is a second of faith and you're justified.
The
you
moment
life,
you believe, you're born again. And God doesn't guarantee that you can't fall away.
Right.
So good question.
The next question kind of follows with that. Do you need to endure to the end to be saved? That's what Jesus said, but what does that mean?
Well, Matthew 24:13 says, he who endures to the end shall be saved. But if you study the Olivet Discourse, Matthew 24 and 25, you'll know that Matthew 24 is talking about the tribulation, right, at least up until verse 35.
So this isn't eternal salvation. It is salvation, but it's not eternal salvation. This is salvation from what?
Well, in verse 22, it's the only other use of the word save in Matthew 24. And Jesus said, unless those days were cut short, no flesh would be saved. And he's talking about the 7 years of the tribulation. And he's saying, unless the tribulation was kept to 7 years, not a single human being would survive. Mm. They would all die. Yeah. And of course, if that were to take place, then you wouldn't have the promises fulfilled to Israel, because you have to have a nation that is the dominant nation on earth and that has people like the sands of the sea or the stars in the sky, and that will take place during the millennium.
So the very simple, simple answer is you need to endure to be saved from the tribulation, saved from dying from the tribulation.
Right. It's basically saying that at the end of the tribulation, every single believer who is alive will be a faithful believer, an enduring believer.
Okay, so like in order to not die during the tribulation, you have to keep on believing.
Well, you're right, and be faithful to Christ. You have to endure. The context there is dealing with people who betray one another, things like that, who stop loving the Lord. And so you need to endure in both your faith and in your works in order to survive. It doesn't mean that everybody who is living a godly life will survive, because some will be martyred.
Right.
But what it's saying is at the end of the tribulation, every single believer alive will be faithful. That's why the judgment of the sheep and the goats in Matthew 25, 31 to 46, every single one of the sheep is praised because they all were faithful. Any unfaithful Gentile believers have already died. And the same thing would be true of the Jewish believers.
So he who endures to the end will be saved. You have to think about that in the context of the tribulation.
Well, thank you for listening. It's a pleasure for us to be able to have this broadcast. Thank you for your prayers and for your support.
Thank you guys for that great discussion. Maybe you'd like to go deeper on the subjects that we cover in this show. And if that's the case, we would love for you to come visit us at our website, faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. On our site, we have free magazine subscription. We have teaching videos, podcasts, blog posts, all kinds of free materials that are designed to help you grow and mature in your understanding of Scripture and faith. So come visit us at faithalone.org, faithalone.org. This show and all of our ministries are made possible from the generous donations of listeners just like you. I hope that you might consider becoming a financial partner with the Grace Evangelical Society. If so, you can find out how on faithalone.org. We love to hear from listeners just like you. Maybe you've got a question or a comment or some feedback. If you do, we want to hear from you. So here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. radio@faithalone.org. Tomorrow on the program, we're going to talk about how long you have to believe to be saved. So tune in for that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep grace in focus.